I appreciate the vote of confidence. Your laughs indicating. What Mike doesn't know is we got three sermons in 15 minutes. That's your extra gift from me this year. But I think we can do it. Each of these thoughts are a sermon in and of themselves, and I'm going to leave them for you to think about and flesh out a little more. But hopefully we'll give you a challenge or a little nugget to think about at the closing here of this year. All year we've been talking about making God's choice. And in this month, especially on Wednesday night, the concept or even the idea of some final exhortations. And I want to keep that up by reminding us to keep on making God's choice. In his humor, Royce made a comment the other day. He said, well, it's almost the end of 2025. I guess we can stop making God's choice. Of course, we understand we focus on a concept or an idea for a year, and hopefully those lessons stay with us, build us up, encourage us, and we keep on developing, keep on working on those things. And so even into the new year and whatever time we're given, and we keep on making God's choice. Sermon 1, you've not passed this way before. I want you to think back to a rather young nation standing on the precipice of new challenges, new obstacles, new difficulties, but also facing great new opportunities and blessings and hope beyond imagination. A history buff maybe is thinking, yes, 250 years ago, we're about to celebrate a nation's history. Go back further. Some 3,400 years ago, Joshua chapter 3, you're standing on the brink, the edge of the Jordan River, about to cross over into land that you've heard of, land that's been promised to you. You're about to go into Canaan. You're about to go into the promised land. In Joshua 3, in verse 3, Joshua, through the elders or through the leaders of God's people, sends out this instruction. In Joshua 3, in verse 3, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. You've heard of this land, but you've never been there. You don't know what it holds. Follow God. Trust in Him. He's the one that's brought you here. Your forefathers, that first generation of Israelites out of Egypt, they stood here one day, and they had to turn back to go wander in the wilderness and die there. But God in His faithfulness has brought you back. And now He's going to fulfill His promise in you, this second generation. You or some of them, perhaps some of the older of that generation, you were born in Egypt and that's all you've ever known. Others of you were born in this wilderness wandering. But you've never known that land and you don't know the way to go. But there's great blessings and promises and opportunities if you will but follow God. They couldn't enter because of unbelief. Go back, Numbers 13, 14, Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4. The reminder, it was unbelief. You didn't trust God and didn't follow Him. But you have the opportunity now to follow Him. That, in a sense, is the New Year sermon. Reminds us, we've not been this way before. Think of all the applications. You've got a fresh, brand new year that's shortly around the corner ahead of us, but maybe it's other things. You're entering a new stage of your life. You're about to enter into marriage. You're about to enter into a new job. You're about to enter into college instead of high school. You're about to enter some new phase. Or even the idea and the concepts of, never been to heaven, but I know the one who has. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to seek His will in all of these things and strive to look towards Him. I don't know the challenges and the difficulties and the obstacles that that a new year will hold. They'll have them, just like the years gone before have. But I also don't know the great blessings and opportunities and the joys and the privileges and the memories that are going to be formed in a new year. Those await us as well. And so follow after God. Number two, life and death. Go back just a little more in that history. Really, the whole of the book of Deuteronomy, it's a history lesson in a sense. It's your end of year sermon. Moses is here at the end of an era, the closing of a chapter in Israel's history and the opening of a new one. He's speaking to a second generation and reminding them, in some senses, maybe teaching them, but reminding them, this is what God has instructed. This is what He has told us. You're facing these challenges and obstacles, but you're also looking to these blessings and these opportunities. And so know God. Follow Him. Trust in Him. He's laying the groundwork to trust and reflect on God's faithfulness. Think about what He has done for you. He's preserved you. He's kept you. He's fed you. He's watered you. He's made sure your clothes and your shoes didn't wear out. He gave you everything that you need. Remember the God that has brought you to this place. That it always has been there for His people. And so you be faithful. In whatever is about to come and whatever is going to happen, you be faithful. Consider the charge He gives. You could go to Deuteronomy 11, two places I want to look. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28 is one of those. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. I've set before you the blessing and the curse. Consider the similar language of Deuteronomy chapter 30 towards the end of the book in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, where again Moses is going to exhort. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I'm going to think of some lessons that he's saying, he's reminding us in those exhortations. And one is the idea God has given us His will. God has revealed His mind to us. He has set these things before us for our benefit that we might succeed. Why has He given us the law? Why has He given us these instructions? Because He wants to see us succeed in the land of promise. And you can do it because He's given you His will. He's reminding them there are consequences to choices and decisions. There's life and death. There's blessing. They're cursing. Bring it into the New Testament. There's a straight and narrow way that leads unto life. There's a broad way that leads unto destruction. There's consequences to the choices that you make in this life. But guess what? Those consequences have been made known. They don't come as a surprise to us. He's revealed His will. There's consequences to our choices. But also understand in those exhortations He's giving them, there's a reminder, the choice is yours. You have a choice to make. It's not predestined, predetermined of what you're going to do in your life, and there's no altering or changing it. There's a choice here for you to make, and you're going to have to decide. Do you want life and blessings and that way unto eternal life? Do you want death and cursing and everlasting destruction? You have a choice. And again, you can develop that out in many different ways and think about the choices and the decisions we make in life and understand God's given us life and death. He's given us this choice into our hands, and we choose daily, yearly, throughout our lives what it is that we are going to do. And make no mistake about it, even indecision is a choice. There's no neutral. When I choose not to act, when I choose not to do God's will, it's a choice against Him. And so it really comes down to those two, the life and death, the blessing, cursing, the straight and narrow, or the broad. Life and death. Number three, go to Acts chapter 13. This is the basis upon which these exhortations have been jumpboarding off of all month, if you will. Paul and Barnabas, some 1,500 years after that crossing of the Jordan River, are in Athens, and Paul still has a message very similar to that of Moses. Paul and Barnabas are on their missionary journey. They've come to Antioch of Pisidia, entered into the synagogue, and after the reading of the law in verse 15, the rulers say unto them, "You men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." The sermon, if you will, that follows is that word of exhortation. Paul, as so often did, took the opportunity that was given unto him. And I want to suggest to you there's many themes that you can look at through the end of that chapter. But one of the things that shines out to me in relation to those first two points we looked at is Paul is reminding them of the faithfulness of God and the charge, follow Him. Keep walking with Him. Just as Moses had promised, just as Joshua had encouraged the people, just as history through all of that time had shown, God would be for His people. Of course, the ultimate fulfillment that you can trace through that sermon in Acts chapter 13 is in Christ Jesus. Consider a few verses that highlight the blessings God makes available unto His people in Acts 13, verse 23. "Of this man, speaking of David's seed, hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a Savior." He's given us a Savior just according as He promised, He has fulfilled. Verse 26, "What am I giving unto you?" The end of that verse, "This word of salvation." This is a message of hope. This is a message of life. This is a message of blessing. This is what we're bringing and delivering unto you. This is what is available to you and still is to us today. Verse 29 and verse 30. "When they fulfilled that which was written of Him concerning the crucifixion of Jesus," they put Him to death. "But God," verse 30, "but God has raised Him from the dead." There's a message of hope and life and assurance. And so because of that, in verse 32, "We deliver unto you glad tidings, how that the promise that was made unto the fathers," notice verse 33, "God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that He hath raised up Jesus again." God kept His promise. He was faithful. And so, in verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," that is Jesus Christ, "is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by Him all that believe are justified in all things." That's the hope you can enjoy. You can have these forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins, the justification. It's available unto you from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Verse 40, "Beware therefore lest there come upon you that which is spoken of in the prophets." Do you see in that message the same message of Joshua, follow God? The same message of Moses? There is blessing and cursing, there is life, and there's death. God's made available to us life in Christ Jesus. That's what's ours. But you've got to choose it. It's up to you to turn aside that warning's there in verse 40, that you can ignore that message or turn away from it And that's the choice many of them made and still are making even today. Verse 42, some of them wanted to know more. Verse 43, some of them encouraged Paul and Barnabas. Some wanted to listen again. Verse 44, others would stir up people against them. Verse 46, there was a choice to be made concerning the message that they heard. What would they do with it? There's a chilling statement. Then in verse 46, Paul and Barnabas, after the rejection of many that got stirred up, Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." There's life and there's death, but you rejected life, therefore what's left? There's death. What's the chilling statement? The idea, you counted yourself worthy of eternal life. God sent that message of hope and salvation to you, but you rejected it. You turned from it. You would not listen. You've got a choice. That same message is what is available unto us. The same exhortation is given unto us. What will you do with the gospel? What will you do with the hope that God has given unto us? We have God's revealed will. We have that message of life and death. And the beautiful news is all are worthy of it. God sent the message forth into all the world, into every creature, that we could know it. And so as we wrap up a last few fleeting moments of a 2025, as we look forward to a new year in 2026, keep on making God's choice. Keep on trusting in Him and His promises. Keep on following Him. Keep on choosing life. It's a message throughout time that we continue to exhort and encourage even this day. The question comes to us, what will we do? That hope is there. The gospel still shining forth and being sounded forth into the world. We've got to determine what we're going to do with it. The same options of Acts chapter 13 are available unto us. We can desire to know more about it. We can respond in faithful obedience, or we can ignore it. We can reject it. We can fight against it. But it doesn't change the message. And so the invitation's open unto us. As we close out a year and look to a new one, what will we do? What will we do with the invitation that God extends unto us? Perhaps there's one here tonight that is not a New Testament Christian and is ready to start a new year and a new life. You've studied the gospel. You know the hope that's available there and know the things that you must do in order to obtain that life. And you're ready to respond in faithful obedience even tonight. Like so many that responded to the gospel in the book of Acts, they heard that message and believed it. They repented of their sins. They confessed Christ as the Son of God. They were willing to be baptized, immersed into Christ for the remission of their sins. Rose again as new creatures, the Lord adding them to the church, and went on in faithfulness. Maybe you're ready to make that decision. Maybe there's one who, I want to know more. I want to hear it again. We'd love the opportunity to study with you. Maybe there's one who, in honest retrospection of the year, realize I've kind of drifted away from God. I was faithful at one time, but it's time for me to come home. We stand ready as well to encourage you, to pray with you and for you as we go before the throne of the Father, forgiveness of sins. To encourage, to be more faithful in the new opportunities that God would bless us with in the new year. Perhaps others going through some struggles or difficulties that you would invite this family to surround you and to encourage you and to lift you up before the Father. The invitation's open before us. What will you do with it? If we'd help you in any way, wouldn't you let it be known as together we stand, as we sing.